Praise the Lord. Ni vizuri munipungie mkono ndio tu naona wengine tumeinama sijui tunaandika Bwana asifiwe sana. Amen. I'm so happy and excited this morning that the Lord has given us another day in his presence. And the word is clear that in the presence of the Lord there is fullness of joy. And in the right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And I want to say how much excited I am to be here this morning. Because we are in the presence of the Lord. He will continue speaking and ministering to us. I want to welcome every one of us into the Sunday service this morning. And it is such a big honor, it's such a big privilege for us to have chosen to come to Grace Hill Mission Church, Northlands. We do not take it very lightly. I know there are many churches. Some of you passed many big churches. Mkakuja kwa church ambao ni a tent. Mkakuja kwa church ambao hata haina floor bado. Lakini I want to encourage you that one of these days we shall look back and say, indeed, I am happy to be part of what God has done in that place. When there will be a big cathedral, when there will be, you know, many cars packed all over, and you say, we started that work. The Lord used us to start that work in Grace Hill Mission Church. The week that has passed has not been very, very easy, particularly for me. I woke up one day, I couldn't speak, my voice had gone. I just thought, now, what will happen on Sunday? That was Friday. I just couldn't speak. There was, you know, jua ile sauti inapotea. But I thank God that he has worked on my body. He has touched me. He has restored my health. And now we can speak. Or I can at least be audible. We are continuing with our series, Victorious Christian Living. Sit, walk, and stand. This is part 3 of a series through the book of Ephesians. Like I said last time, that Ephesians chapter 1, from verse 1 all the way to 14, in its original text is one verse. So what we cannot read it in parts. We will have to read exactly what we read the other Sunday. But the Lord will still help us to see things a little different. And I am sure there is a revelation for every one of us to hear God and to know that it is us that he is addressing. So I read Ephesians chapter 1. I will start from verse 3. And we'll continue. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of the children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom we also have obtained an inheritance being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom we also trusted. After that, you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you are sealed with a seal with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession and to the praise of his glory. Quite a long reading. And because I know it is not very easy to follow as somebody else is reading, and I think because of the version that I am using, I want to break it down. I want to take the next 40 minutes to break down what the Spirit of God is saying to us. My topic today is the blessings by the Father. If you remember how verse 3 starts, it starts, "Blessed be God who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus." But as we start, I want to point out that all these blessings, the spiritual blessings, are not all of them in one package. The Bible is clear, the blessing from the Father. And having said this, I want to repeat that blessed be God who has blessed us, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So now, verse 4, accordingly, he has chosen us. Number one, the very, very, very first blessing that God has given to us is the blessing of being chosen. You have been chosen among many. You have been chosen for the praise of his glory. In Christ, you have been chosen by God himself. So this is a blessing from God. Now, the doctrine of being chosen, the doctrine of the election, yani kuchaguliwa, it is a doctrine that we may not fully understand, because listen to what the Bible says, that he chose you before the foundations of the earth were set. So how did he choose you when you are not there? This is why it is a mystery. But the Bible says before the foundations of the earth, he chose you for the glory of his name. So what I want to say is that this is a mystery that may not be fully explained to us, but it is can be fully enjoyed. The purposes of God is on you. You can enjoy that selection, that being chosen, that being elected from among many. God can allow you to walk in that knowledge that I have been chosen, I have been selected, and I can enjoy fully that blessing of being chosen. And I want to invite us to listen to what Paul tells the church in Corinthians about being chosen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26, please write this, but I will read. Paul is saying something so, so interesting. It was so interesting to me. Let me say, when I was, we normally update each other in my family, like, what are you doing? What verses are you reading? So for me, I think it is 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was reporting what I was doing. And one day I wake up and say, I have been reading Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 1 to 2. And tomorrow I say, I'm still reading chapter 1 from verse 1 to 2. And the third day, and they are like, no, daddy, are you reading the Bible? And I want to welcome you to get deeper in every word that the Spirit of God is saying to you. You realize that for the last 3 Sundays, we have been dealing with Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 1 to 3. But it is because there is also There is the depth that the Spirit of God wants us to go. So Paul, when he is explaining to the Corinthians in chapter 1 and verse 1 Corinthians 1, 26 to 31, I'm reading through NIV. This was so exciting for me. The Bible says, brothers and sisters, think of what you are when you are being called. Think of what you are when you are chosen. I mean, just go back, retrace your steps to where you are being called. That is what Paul is inviting you to do. Brothers and sisters, think of what you are, how you look like when you are being called. And he continues by saying, not many of you were wise in human understanding. Not many of you are wise, my brothers. Not many of you are wise, my sisters. If the selection was to be based on human standards, you would not have been chosen. Not many of you were influential. You know, I could take a pen and stick when Paul is talking. He says, not many of you were wise. And I tick and say, indeed, I was not wise in human understanding. Not many of you were influential. I tick that. I was not influential in any way. Not many of you are of noble birth. Yes, that is me. I would say, yes, Matthew was not of noble birth. He was not influential. He was not wise. But praise be to the name of God, he still chose me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he chose you. And this is why Paul is saying, think of what you are. The reason he is telling you is that you may appreciate the choice of God upon your life. For the praise of his own name, he chose you. The way you are. So he says, okay, before we go to what the other verse is, I remember my story. A small boy from somewhere, you know, insignificant in the eyes of people. It's insignificant even in the eyes of the neighbors. From the slums of Nairobi. But God did not hesitate to come there, pick me up. And I know we all have our stories. We all have our stories from hopeless situations, from situations that will look like you did not have hope. But God chose to give you hope and to make you hope for the generations that are to come. My brothers and my sisters, think of what you are when you are called. He continues by saying, the next statement is so, so exciting because it makes a transformation. Paul says, not many of you are wise, not many of you are influential, not many of you are of noble birth. But he says, but God, this is where the pivot is, but God. I highlighted those words. Those two words made all the difference, but God. When we use the word but in any sentence, remembering my English teacher, he says when we use the word but, it nullifies the latter. It nullifies what the writer was saying, that you may not have been noble, you may not have been wise, but God, you know, despite of that, God chose you. Why? He chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. Hallelujah. He chose the weak things of this world to shame the strong. He chose the glory of this world to despise the things of this world. He chose things that were not. Yani kitu hakuna. You know, some languages tunasema, iyo hata hakuna. That is what we were. He chose things, the Bible says, things that were not, to nullify the things that were there. You know the in thing? Kuna kitu unaangalia unasema, this is the in thing. God chose the things that were not to despise or to nullify the things, the in things. And it is you, and it is me, my brother. It is you, my sister. To nullify the things that were, so that none of us may boast. None of us may boast before him. The reason he chose you from where he chose you. If he went and chose you from the noble families, you would maybe start thinking, I came from a noble family. I was so wise. You know, I could sit, I could talk, and many people could listen. How many of us could do that? He chose you in that to despise those things so that none of us can boast before him. So he says, it is because of him that you are in Christ. You know, God chose you. I want the choice of God to be the thing that you will take home this morning. That God chose you. He says it is because of him that you are in Christ. You are chosen to be in Christ before the foundations of the earth, who has become for us the wisdom of God. Christ has become the wisdom of God. Therefore, let him who boast in the Lord. If any one of us has a reason to be proud, if anyone has a reason ya kujisikia, ajisikia ya kwamba, I know the Lord. This will give you some confidence, my brother. This will give you some confidence, my sister, in that when everybody else out there is taking things to be proud of, because there are things that people can be proud of. People will be proud that they are rich. They will be proud of their cars. They will be proud of their houses. You may not have all that, but you can be proud in that Jesus, God through Jesus Christ, has chosen you to be for the glory of his name. What a beautiful thing to be the one chosen of God. When I was thinking about this scripture, I remembered how people would measure before they select you for anything. Before they choose you for anything, including, I'm trying to look at the very small things, including a prefect in class. They look at you and they look at your performance in other areas. But can you imagine if Jesus was to wait for you to perform? How long would he wait for you to perform before he could choose you? He chose you not because of your wisdom, not because of your influence, but he chose you that he may apply the life of God in your life to show the transformation of his power. None of this could apply in my case. None of this could apply in your case, my brother. And what this is telling us, the past of who you have always been cannot deter God from accomplishing his purpose in your life. Amen. What you are today cannot deter God from using you to accomplish great things in your life. So you may have failed in your past. You may look at your life and think, I have failed in many, many areas. I look at my own, and there are things that I regret to date. That there are things that I feel here I failed. But praise be to the name of the Lord. The choice of God was not based on my performance, but his choice that was before the foundation of the earth. Number two, the blessing of God. We have said the first blessing is that he chose you. Number two, he adopted us. Verse 5 says, having predestined us for adoption as sons. Having predestined us for adoption as sons. When we are talking about adoption, many of us may not understand what adoption is. When you go out there, or let me say it this way. In our modern world, when we talk about adoption, we're talking about taking a child that is not your own and bringing him or her to be a partaker of your family, to partake what he does not legally own. So God, having predestined us as for adoption as sons. So the blessing number one is choice. The blessing number two is adoption. You are not just chosen. You are chosen and you have now been elevated to a level of a son. In Hebrew, or in the original text, the word adoption was understood in two ways. Number one is the one that I am saying. When you take a child, it refers to the official act of a father to bestow to the status of full adulthood a son of a minor status. Now, I think I have said two things. I don't want you to be confused. I have said, when you go out there, take a child that is not your own, bring them into your family. That is how we understand adoption. But in the original context, God adopted even his own son. Now, this is now why I want to explain what I want to explain. It has, in Hebrew, the word refers to an official act of the father to bestow on to the fullness of adulthood a son. Now, I think that may not be very clear. I'm not talking about a stranger. Like now, I have my two sons. My two sons cannot, even to date, there are some of them, okay, one of them is a young adult, but I have not elevated him to the whole level of making the decisions that I would make. But God, in his own wisdom, has chosen to adopt us, to elevate us to the level of being a son. Somebody that can make decisions on behalf of the Father. Now, listen to this. I'm reading Galatians chapter 4 and verse 1 to 7. What I'm saying is that as long as an heir is underage, it has no difference. He has no difference from a slave. Munaniskia. That a son of a family. I know I can see fathers, I can see mothers in our midst. As long as a son, he belongs to that family. But long as he is under age, he has no difference from a slave. Although he owns the whole estate. The son owns the whole estate, but he has no difference. The heir is subjected to guardians and to trustees until a time set by the father. So also, when we were under age, we were enslaved, or we were slaves under the elementary spiritual forces of this world. Oh, hallelujah. I feel excited that as long as you remain a child, as long as you have not been elevated to the level of adulthood, what happens in your life, in your spiritual life, you also remain as enslaved to the elementary spiritual forces. But praise be to the name of the Lord. Adoption or into the sonship of God. He is elevating us to adulthood into the kingdom. Hallelujah. Amen. That we may take the responsibilities of the what has been entrusted in us. So he says, God sent his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that he might receive the adoption to sonship. Amen? Amen. Because you are sons, God sent the spirit of his son unto your hearts. Hallelujah. Because you are sons, God sent the spirit of his sons into your heart. You have the spirit of the son. You have the spirit of the fully grown son. I like what Paul is saying. And this is the spirit who cries out, calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer slaves, but God's children. And since you are his child, he has made you an heir of his kingdom. Hallelujah. This is now what Paul is talking about to the Ephesians. When he tells them that you have been adopted, he's not just telling them that you have been picked being a stranger, But you have been picked and have been elevated to the level of a son, fully grown, adult, mature, who can enjoy the blessing and the fullness of the blessing in God. I want, before I do away with the issue of adoption, to look at some words in the book of Luke, chapter 3. Luke chapter 3 and verse 21-22. If you remember, this chapter talks about Jesus being baptized by John in River Jordan. Listen, what happens? I think you have read this story, we know this story, but I want us to listen very keenly. The Holy Spirit, now, how can I start a sentence with add the Holy Spirit? That is not correct. Luke chapter 3, verse, I think, let me read the whole. My Bible is refusing to open. Okay, it has Kubari, with my Kubari. So, Luke chapter 3. I want to read so that we may have the whole picture. Let me start with verse 21. Now, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also, being baptized, and praying, the heaven opened. Let me change my version. I want to read. It's okay. Seems like I cannot change the version. So let me read the King James version. Now, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus, being baptized and praying, the heaven opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, "Thou art my son, in thee I am well pleased." Maybe you are wondering, what is it about adoption you hear from that scripture? Let me open your eyes a little bit to see what is happening here. Jesus has been on the surface of the earth for about 30 years. And God wants to now adopt him, raise him, elevate him to the level of adulthood. And therefore he says, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in a bodily form of a dove, and a voice came to him from heaven. And it's saying what? You are my? You are my son, in whom I am well pleased. Please look, and I want us to be keen here and see. Here we have Jesus. Jesus is inside the water. We have God in heaven, and he sent the Holy Spirit to come and be witness to this great occasion as Jesus is being elevated to the level of adulthood. Remember, we said in its original context, the adoption of a son, I have a son, it would reach a time that I would call the village elders, that I would call a ceremony to elevate this son to be the level of an adult, and it needed to have people as witnesses, and God needed a witness, so he sent the Holy Spirit all the way from heaven, and God is also speaking. These were not words which God spoke for the first time. It was words that were being spoken by every Hebrew, every father in that setup who elevated his son to the level of adulthood. He would say these words: "This is my son, in him I am well pleased." But now, what interested me is that he is not telling other people. Now, let's be keen. Please be keen. Read your Bible. Tell me what it says. It says what? What did the voice from heaven say? Are you there? What did the voice from heaven say? Now, this is not, it is addressed to who?
Jesus.
It is addressed to Jesus as the Son. It is not about the other people. Adoption was not about the other people. The people were there just to witness. Can you imagine God telling Jesus, "You are my son"? Do you think Jesus had forgotten? Do you think God had forgotten? Do you think Jesus did not know that he was the Son of God? But this was an occasion, and these words were demanded from every father, that to testify that today you have been elevated to sonship or to an adulthood, you can now make the decisions fully backed by God. He is talking about approval. He is saying that you are my beloved son. We will come to the word beloved hereafter. He is talking about approval. Let's remember also that this God is speaking before Jesus performs any miracle. He is not talking about what Jesus has done. He is not talking about the ministry of healing that Jesus has been doing. Jesus has not done anything this far. He has been brought up by Mary and Joseph, and he is just among the people, just unnoticed. From 12 years, this is the time that we now hear about Jesus. We only hear about, prior to this, the only other time we hear him when he is 12 years. The next is now when he is all the way 33, and now he is an adult, and God wants to make a whole spectacle, him approving of him and saying, "You are my son. Praise be to the name of the Lord." And in the book of Hebrews, the Bible calls you, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you." Hallelujah.
Amen.
God is talking to you as a son, and he is making a big thing out of it when he says that I approve of you. You are my son. You are my daughter. You can walk in the full sonship. You can walk in the full adulthood knowing that you are my son. God is speaking approval in the life of his son, Jesus. And from there on, we see now Jesus coming. Now he has been he has been on the background, but he comes on the forefront and starts doing works of God. He starts performing miracles. He starts now knowing that I have God's approval. And this morning, I want to challenge you, my sister. I want to challenge you, my brother. You have God's approval as a son of God. That office should not be the same again. That neighborhood should not be the same again. You have approval of God having testified, "You are my beloved son."
Amen.
Go and change your world. Jesus, from when that was approved, the next thing we see him, he goes out and he's going to pray in the wilderness. The devil comes to him. He can assert himself and say, "The devil, you will be defeated. Man shall not live by bread alone." He says, "Thou shalt not test your God, the Lord your God." And he continues. And from that time, miracles started being part of his ministry and part of his life. My brother, my sister, God's approval is upon you. You have been adopted to full sonship. You have been adopted, and now you can walk as an adult into this kingdom business. Number three, verse 6 says, "He has made us accepted in the beloved." Now, the other verse we were reading in the book of Luke was saying that this is my beloved son. Now, my beloved, you have been made accepted in the beloved. We talked about chosen. We have talked about adopted. We have talked about Now we are talking about accepted in the beloved. That, let's remember, when we talked about Jesus, we said, when we just talked about Jesus, we are saying that Jesus have been adopted. He has been elevated, not because of what he has done. And in ourselves, we cannot be accepted. If you look at what you have done, if you look at who you are, your weaknesses, your shortcomings, your failures, God cannot accept you based on that. And therefore, he makes it very clear. He has made us accepted in his beloved. It is only in Christ that we are accepted before God. We stand accepted. And Paul is writing to Philemon, not this one, not Philemon, this one. The Philemon of the Bible. He is talking to the Philemon, not PK. Accept Onesimus, just as you would accept me. And this is now what Jesus is saying, that he has made you accepted in his beloved. The acceptance is not at all based on you. The grounds of your performance is not you. You are weak. You cannot perform to please God. Your failures are too glaring. How many times have you failed? How many times have you felt a sinner? God has not accepted you based on your performance. God can only accept you through Jesus Christ. So, your past, your present, your ability to do cannot cause God to accept you. But when you are hidden in Christ, when you are in Christ, he is his beloved. And therefore, my brother and my sister, whenever you come or you get out of Christ, you run away from Christ, you will never be accepted to God. It's not by our performance, but it is because of what Jesus did at the cross that we have been accepted to be his sons. I have nothing. Remember the singer singing and says, nothing but the blood of Jesus. There is nothing. It is not the labor of your hands. My brother and my sister, it is not your performance. It is not how well you can do it. It is not how good I am, including me, who is your pastor. It is simply by the blood of Jesus. All I need to do is to hide myself in Jesus Christ, and I will be accepted. I remember, and this, because of time, I'm not going to read. Remember when Jesus comes and he fights some boats in the Sea of Galilee? There were several, but at least there were two. But he chooses the boat belonging to Simon Peter. The Bible says, and Jesus got into the boat belonging to Simon Peter and sat down. That looks like just an ordinary statement. But can you imagine what would happen? Some of us who are driving and some of us who are not driving, you just got into your car, found somebody seated. That seems like what Jesus did. He just got into the boat of Simon Peter and he sat. No negotiation, no anything. It looks like it is. Does that look normal? It is not. But now, let's get deeper into that story. When he gets in there, he does not just get in and sit. He tells Simon Peter, the owner of the boat, push me offshore a little. Let us go a little offshore. I want to address these people. I want to open your eyes. Jesus did not need a boat to minister. Why? If you look at the other stories, he has proved himself. He has walked on water. Don't you think he would have just stepped a little, just suspended, aseme kwa hii kanjia hakuna roso haruka, hakuna the law of gravity, atembe hapo, ageukie watu, awanze kuambia, the Bible says, or God says. But he needed to use the boat belonging to Simon Peter. Jesus did not need the boat, but it is Simon Peter who needed Jesus in his boat. You know, sometimes we come into the kingdom of God and we act as though it is God who needs us. We act as though, you know, for me, at times I have been thinking, if it is giving our offering, if it is giving our tithes, like we do it so that God may have electricity or he may pay his bills. I want to tell you, the blessing was not Jesus taking Simon. It was not Jesus being blessed by Simon Peter's boat, but it is Simon getting changed by having Jesus using what he has. And I want to tell you, there is no better thing than having Jesus in the job that you are doing. There is nothing as good as having Jesus in the business that you are doing. When you surrender the boat and tell him, Jesus, I have been using this. Use it. Use it for your glory. Jesus will be very excited to use it, and you will be changed thereafter. You know, if it was just an issue of Simon and the boat, he may have just caught the fish for that day. But he caught the fish for that day. He saw the real power and forgot the business of fishing. And he went following this master, saying that everything that I have is yours. It's not just the boat. I want to think that if Simon Peter said no, if you read that story, Jesus later on requested Peter push to offshore. Put a little. Push a little. He requested Simon. If Simon said no, maybe Jesus would have looked for another boat of somebody that is cooperating. And I want to tell you, there is no greater thing than being invited to cooperate with the Creator to change the lives of men. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Simon is just, Jesus wants Simon to cooperate, and he makes him. And today, my dear sister, my dear brother, think of what you are before you are called. And here is Jesus telling you, I have accepted, but can you accept to cooperate with me? Can you accept to partner with me as we go out and change the lives of men? Jesus wants people that will surrender their boat, people that will surrender their lives, and he is going to use them to change the lives of men, to make an eternal purpose, to make an eternal difference in the lives of men and in the generations that are yet to come. Jesus needed the boat, but Simon needed Jesus in his boat more. Today you may give a small percentage of your salary, you may give a small in offering and in tithe, but I tell you, that opens the door that Jesus may come in, be there together with you. He will transform you, and he will cause you to be of a great transformation. And when we surrender our lives as the accepted ones, accepted by Jesus, knowing that we have been accepted to come near to him, we will cease to be working as though it depends on us. We will know that all depends on Jesus, and we shall accomplish great things. We see Peter, the same Peter, at the trial of Jesus. When Jesus is arrested and he is going through the trials, Peter comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, even if all these people, all these deny you, count on me, I will not. You know, Peter is counting on his own ability. Peter is imagining, no, I am so determined. I will not say no. I will not deny my master. But before the daybreak, before the cock crowed, what does a cock do?
Crows.
Okay, before the cock crows, Simon had already denied Jesus three times. Just having been there, assuring Jesus that you can count on me. But think of these other disciples. Peter is saying, I love you so much. I love you so much. I will not deny you. But there is this other disciple called John. And many a times, the book of John refers to John as the disciple that Jesus loved. I was keen to see whether it's other people referring to himself, to John, as the disciple that Jesus loved. You may think I'm joking. It's only John who refers to himself. It's only the book of John which refers John to John as the disciple that Jesus loved. What does that tell you? That John is basking more, he's building more of his confidence, not in that he loves God, but in that God loves him. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to tell you, even if you are really banking on you loving God, times can come like it came for Peter and you deny him. But when you know that God loves you, when you know and build your confidence in that this is not about me, it's about God loving me. Your salvation, my sister, it's not about you loving God. It's about God loving you. It's about God choosing you. It's about God adopting you. It's about God even accepting you before the foundations of the earth were made. It is not about you, my sister. Salvation, this salvation is not about you, my brother. It is not about you loving God. It's about God loving you. So we see Peter saying, Lord, I love you so much. And I can build my confidence in that I love you. But we see John, Bible saying that this is the disciple that Jesus loved. He built all his confidence in that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. These I know, the singer sang. And the Bible tells me so. As you go out in the week ahead of you, let us remember that Jesus loves me and go out saying, I know no other argument. It is enough that Jesus died and he died because he loves me. Jesus loves you. Go knowing that. And go knowing and telling others that Jesus loves you. You will have the strength to stand even when the world is giving way. At the cross, Peter is saying, Jesus, I love you, I will not deny you. But sooner or later, he denies Jesus, not once, not twice, three times. But can you look at the other disciple? But Jesus looked when he is at the cross. And there at the foot of Jesus, hanging on the cross, there was that disciple who Jesus loved. Hallelujah. Because of God loved him and he had built that confidence, he had the courage to come all the way to the cross. It is not about us loving God. It's about God loving us. And he tells him, Mother, this is your son. And John, this is your mother. If you remember, for those of us who are here, the first time we did, the first lesson we did, we said the book of Ephesians has, the church in Ephesians had so many letters written to them. We said that the book of Revelation was written by John to the but has letters addressed to Ephesus, because John ended up in Ephesus together with Mary, the mother of Jesus, because Jesus meant it. Do you know Jesus had brothers? Name one disciple of Jesus. Now we are in class. One brother to Jesus. James. Jude. Joseph. Aya, so hii mambo ya kunemu watoto kama ni J. Haikuanza sahi. Hata Joseph alikuwa na hiyo. Jesus was the firstborn. Who was the second one? Aya, Jude, Joseph. They were all J. He had sisters also. Do you know that? Okay, we don't know their names. Am I anybody has a revelation? The Bible doesn't name them. But Jesus had brothers. But instead of leaving the mother in the hands of the brothers, can you see this paradox? There is this disciple that trusted so much in the love of Jesus that Jesus turns and says, John, this is your mother. Mom, this is your son. And he has other sons. So when John is leaving Jerusalem, When John is leaving, where did Jesus come from? Not Jerusalem.
Nazareth.
Okay, when Jesus is coming from. Now John leaves Nazareth, he takes Mary and he says, you are my mother, I'm not leaving you. And they go and settle in Ephesus. Because there is this disciple who knows that Jesus or God loves me. It is not about my love for him. It is about his love for me that makes me different.
Amen.
What makes you different, my brother, is not how much you love God, but it is how much God loves you. Sometimes I have walked with my son when they were small, and I am giving them my hand to hold. When we are just walking, Richard, and there is no danger, I will give them, even if it is a kadokidore, ashikiri hapo, tunatembea tu pole pole. But when there is real danger, he will not be the one holding my hand. I will hold the hand. Because at times, when you think you are holding the hand of God, utafika pahali, utastuka, utaachiria. But when he is holding your hand, nothing can shake him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He will not release your hand. The best thing you can do is to just enjoy that God is holding my hand. If it is about my love for him, I will give up. But when it is about his love for me, I'm telling you, it is a safe foundation. It can never be shaken.
Amen.
Brethren, we are loved by God.
Amen.
Reminding you, we say it in the book of Ephesians, the book we are studying, from chapter 1 to chapter 3, it's about what God has done for us. He has adopted us. He has accepted us. He has chosen us. We will continue next week. For the next 3 Sundays, coming Sunday, we're going to look at the blessings through the Son. The other Sunday, we're going to look at the blessings through the Holy Spirit. So, the blessings that come through the Father, or the Father gives directly to us, is that he has chosen us. He has adopted us. He has
accepted
us in his beloved. Just acceptance is not enough. He's accepted us in his beloved.
Amen.
And he testifies of that. Today, you are my son. Today, you are my beloved son. I want every one of us to just take a moment, just take time, and go before the Lord. Thank him for his selection. Thank him for his choice, that he has chosen you, picked you from many who are better than you. Many who looked better, many who are more educated, many who fitted this description of goodness better. But he picked you to raise you up into the level of sonship for the glory and for the honor of his name. Shall we stand up?
And griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we offer. Faint, oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry.
Just go before God. Appreciate him that he loves you more than you can ever love him.
More than you can ever be committed to him, he is committed to you. More than he who can ever be committed to see the goodness of your life, he is committed to see you prosper. He is committed to see you established. He is committed to see you stand in your salvation. Yes, he has loved you with an everlasting love. He has loved you to the point of dying for you, that you may be elevated to the sonship, that you may take the covering that is in the blood of Jesus, that you may walk therein. How we praise you, Holy Spirit. How we praise you, God Almighty. Thank you, eternal God, that you have loved us. You have elevated us to your sons. You have given to us to walk in the fullness of your power, to walk in the full knowledge of your kingdom. Father, we desire that in the name of Jesus, we will take this knowledge and apply it in our lives. We will take this knowledge and apply it in our lives, oh God, that you have loved us, you have accepted us, you have adopted us, Lord, for the glory and for the honor of your name. Blessed Redeemer, we give you praise. Blessed Redeemer, we give you all the glory. In the name of Jesus, Father, we give you praise. Father, we give you all the honor. We give to you all the praise for loving us, Lord. While it not, while Father, for your love, we would not be who we are. We would not have come this far, Father. But we thank you that you have loved us. We thank you that you have loved us, God Almighty. We thank you, King of all kings. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, our Father.
Continue keeping us, Lord, by your love.
Hallelujah.
Grace, Lord God.
We give to you all the praise. Father, when we look at the love that you loved us with, we are all just but humbled to know that when we were yet sinners, when we were unacceptable, when we were unlovable, this is when you loved us. And you loved us so much that you are willing to die on the cross for us. Our Father, I pray that every one of us will walk in that confidence that I am loved by God. That indeed it is not about my performance. It is not about what I can do for God, but it is what God has done and can do in my life. Oh God, I pray that our families will rest on that assurance. Father, our jobs and our ministry will rest on that assurance that it is not about us. Lord, as we go out witnessing and telling people about your love for them, I pray that God, we will be clear in our hearts. We will be clear in our minds, O Lord, that this love that you loved us with has caused us to be changed. It is not the love that we love you with that has changed us, but the love that you have loved us with, it is the one that has changed us. And Lord, this is the love that we will go out and tell the world that indeed they are loved by God. How I pray that every one of us, our Father, shall be the witness of the love of God upon our lives, shall be a witness of the love of God upon our neighbors in the name of Jesus. And having known how much you love us, having known how much you love the people that are lost, we will not allow ourselves, our Father, to sleep. We will not allow ourselves to be lazy, but we will go out, our Father, and declare your love for the world. How I pray for every one of us. Lord, make us witnesses of your love. Make us, our Father, for a testimony that we may go out there and bring these people that do not know you, Lord, to this love, that they may know how much you love them, how much you have sacrificed to make them your children. Yet, Lord, the devil has tired and has blinded their eyes that they cannot see this great love and sacrifice. May we, our Father, be the people that you are going to use. Please, we pray that you're going to use us to bring our friends, our family members into the knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that the people we will find out there, we will tell them. And because you love us, we pray for your anointing, Lord, to be upon us, O God, that every one of us shall have at least one person that we will tell about your love in the coming week. And God, you will give to us the joy of seeing many lives being transformed in the name of Jesus. And our Father, we want to thank you for the work that you are doing in this place. Lord, there are many that have come to this salvation, to the knowledge of this salvation through our ministry. But we know that the enemy is not sleeping. We are not ignorant of the schemes of the enemy to discourage some from continuing with this salvation. But in the name of Jesus, we want to pray that this morning they are going to stand. None, our Father, that you have given to us. None that have prayed a prayer of repentance in this sanctuary or elsewhere in our ministry is going to give up in their salvation in the name of Jesus. Our Father, we want to thank you for the 22 members that have come to the knowledge of Jesus through this ministry. We pray for every one of them. Father, as a congregation, we cry unto you, praying that, oh God, you will cause them to stand. Father, wherever they are, we pray that they are going to stand, dear Father. May you touch them, dear Father, with your touch that makes a difference in their lives. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray that the enemy will not steal the seed that you have planted in these lives in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, may you convince them. May you convict them, Jesus, of this way of righteousness, of this way of truth, in the name of Jesus. And our Father, we pray we are going to see them coming back into this sanctuary and declaring your praise and declaring your glory. We give to you, our Father, everything that we are and everything that we have, desiring that, God, you may continue working. Our Father, as we continue meeting in this sanctuary on Sundays, continue speaking and ministering to us. Lord, we pray that it is not going to be about any one of us, but it is going to be about your Holy Spirit. Father, as we start, we meet to minister to the community on Tuesday, we pray that every Tuesday that we are going to meet here, the power of God is going to be upon us. The anointing of God that breaks the yoke shall be upon us, breaking the yoke of sin, breaking the slavery of the enemy in the name of Jesus. Father, we want to come against any stronghold. We want to come against any power of the evil. Every spirit that doesn't exalt the name of God, we fight against them in the name of Jesus. And in this community, we declare your salvation. We declare that men will come to the knowledge of your Son, Jesus. We declare salvation. We declare healing in the name of Jesus. How we pray that our Father, our ministry to you, O God, we shall have a burden for souls, and you shall grant us to see souls that are being transformed in the name of Jesus. We want to thank you that the battle belongs to you. And we can confidently say that this battle is yours. And we shall walk in that confidence that it is not about you, Jesus. It is not about us. It is not our performance. It's not about our wisdom. Father, it's not about our nobility. It's not about our way of argument. It's not about our way of putting things. By the power that you have bestowed upon us. Lord, as we go out, we pray that we will come rejoicing. Souls having come to the knowledge of your Son, having transformed lives, O God. And we will come giving to you praise, giving to you honor, and giving to you all the adoration. And now, Lord, as we come to the end of this service, I bless your people. Father, I pray that they are going out and they are coming in shall be a witness of your faithfulness in their lives. I pray that, God, those that are going for businesses, you are going to bless them in whatever they do. Some that are yet to start, you will cause them to start their businesses and they will be established. Some who are already in their businesses, Lord, may you give them customers in the name of Jesus. Some of them that are have jobs, may you give them, our Father, promotion. Because your word says, promotion comes not from the east nor from the west, but it comes from above. I want, therefore, to speak upon their lives a very special blessing in the week ahead. And our Father, may you bless their food. May you bless and sanctify their waters, O Lord. As they seek to worship you in their homes, may you be found by them. And God, may you be their father. May you be their walk, their keeper in everything that they do. And they shall be for a testimony of a blessing of what God can do in the life of his beloved. We thank you and we praise you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name.